Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. Wow, folks. This is the broadcast for July 29th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, we use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we do so by using the checks and balances that our founding fathers put in place. Absolutely brilliant solution for we the people to maintain control of the greatest country on the face of the earth. The only question left is, will we double down in terms of God, family, and country? Will we accept our responsibility? Will we be engaged in the solutions, or will we simply participate in bread, blood, and circus until we lose everything we hold dear? That is the ultimate question. If we have anything to say about it, we shall succeed. We shall preach and teach and pray and do all that we can to preserve the greatest country on the face of the earth. After all, it is about to preserve the nation, isn't it? Dr. Scott Bradley with me, speaking of To Preserve the Nation, his collegiate series, and more available at freedomsrisingsun.com. His webinars, all that he does and all that I do, designed to restore the republic, to look at our back trail, as Dr. Bradley says, and to use that to say, hey, let's not freak out because we're in trouble. Let's just go to the tried and true. Let's go to the stable. Let's turn to God, family, and country, and let's do it. Let's do it quickly. Dr. Bradley, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I absolutely agree with what you've just said. The back trail is well marked, well defined. I mean, it's well trodden in past decades. We have been led by a number of generations of lessers from the head of the government on down. And certainly the so-called education system of the United States is designed to facilitate the destruction of the United States with the implementation of un-Americanist philosophies that are tied directly back to the humanist religion and the socialist philosophies of government. So, yeah, we have a pretty clear-cut direction that we should be able to pick up and run with, but people are reluctant. A great many people are either so distracted with the diversions of everyday life, which they won't be able to pursue everything, but they're distracted by those, or they feel like, well, I talked to a guy here a while back, and it was interesting to me. We were talking about how we have taxed ourselves beyond where most countries have gone with when they've gone into a full tyranny. When in the United States, you pay, on average, if there's an average taxpayer, at least half of your gross income to some level of government, whether it's gasoline tax or property tax or sales tax or excise tax or income tax, whatever it is, Social Security tax, we are giving away at least half of our gross income every month to some level of government. And I was lamenting that to this individual I was speaking with. And he said, but look what we get for it. He was one of those people that think that You can kind of take little bits of cancer here and there and be just fine with it because you feel fine in another area. But the fact of the matter is the cancer is eating away at all of us. And we got to quit feeding at the trough. We've got to recognize that it's not acceptable. It's unconstitutional. It violates the baseline principles. And we've got to say, okay, it's time for a change. And we, the people, have got to make that decision or it'll never happen.
Amen. And you can always take another drink from the bottle of false prosperity if you want to, but you can only carry it if you continue with the Ponzi scheme idea. In other words, we're going to create money out of thin air. We're going to pump the system full of money. Everybody feels like they have money. And hopefully you can stay ahead of inflation. We're finding out that we cannot as we play this game. Eventually there will be a halt to the con game. There's no doubt about it. But in the meantime, there's this false prosperity really that we've seen in America since World War II days. You know, they came out of it. Fake money took the order of the day. Taxes were fairly low. The American people had all kinds of real and imaginary wealth. And now what's happening is that the inflation has really reared its ugly head for a variety of reasons. And because of the ever increasing interest on the debt, we're not going to be able to keep up with it. And people are starting to see it fray around the edges. But the reason that we still haven't really had a halt to the con game is the government still has been in a very unique position, tying our dollars to oil, petrodollars, whatever you want to call it. And they've managed to expand the United States economy worldwide, creating this false prosperity. Well, that's about to come to an end. But in the meantime, we're pretty much living off of our parents and our parents' parents' wealth. Wealth that has been handed down from generation to generation, or wealth that you made 20, 30, whatever years ago. We're living off of all that, plus the stimulus money. So you've got the stimulus, false money, false wealth, and then you've got some real wealth that's being siphoned off right now. As they push towards the reset, Dr. Bradley, you're seeing all these things come to a head. But the reason that the people haven't experienced it so far is they've managed to keep the kind of bread and circus alive. They've managed to use this fake fiat prosperity along with some real wealth that people are now tapping into. In other words, in 10, 15, 20 years, or I don't know the exact number, a lot of that will be tapped out and not available for folks. They won't be able to rely on the baby boom generation. They won't be able to rely on the assets that people bought with the first fake money. In other words, a halt to the con game's happening, but it's all this vicious circle that's going to eventually catch up to us. That's the problem.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The in a Ponzi scheme, you've mentioned that, and probably it could be simply explained, at least in a kind of a superficial way. But basically, it's a false investment process that the early investors get the proceeds that are brought in by later investors. The later investors get nothing, and the early investors continue to advocate for the Ponzi scheme because, by golly, they're doing so good. And reality, there's so many Ponzi schemes out here right now that are basically, they're supposed to be illegal, but the government runs all the ones that that are being fostered. And so that's why they've made them illegal, because anybody else did them, the people would say, wait, we're being defrauded. We need to have some government intervention to prevent force and fraud and debauchery and all those kind of things. The thing with the current situation is the only ones that are going to succeed are the ones that are creating the money, because they get to spend it before the inflationary processes really settle in and cause everybody else, the mom-and-pop operations, the Main Street, whatever it is, you know, the people that are on retirement, fixed incomes, you can name the people as easy as I, but the fact of the matter is they're the ones that take it on the chops. And the guys that are, you know, the Federal Reserve, the private bankers that run our economy, and the few that are their elite tag-alongs and hanger-oners, they get the full benefit of all of this stuff while the rest of us are taking it on the chops. And I'm not sure, Sam, that your statement about it's fraying around the edges is absolutely accurate. I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm saying it is, I think it's manifesting itself much more widely than that for anybody that's willing to take the time to examine the situation and recognize that we're in deep trouble in our economy right now. And I know people have said that, you know, in the 60s, I remember the people saying, oh, man, this deficit spending's got to stop. Huh. Those guys were pikers back in the 60s. And, I mean, you know, we I know I don't like generalities and putting people in a box, but since most of society uses liberals and Democrats kind of synonymously and conservatives and Republicans synonymously, which is absolutely unfair and incorrect. The most liberal Democrat of those days was far better than the most conservative Republican of our day. And that is absolutely horrid. I mean, when we had guys like John F. Kennedy that were trying to push, his big socialist programs through, which were abject failures, because even those of his own party would not support them. And then you get LBJ in there, and he said, oh, well, for our fallen leader, we've got to step forward and, you know, push these programs forward. And that's what he did. He pushed the JFK programs through, and and they were the Great Society, and so-called, anyway. And that's so much, the Medicare, Medicaid debacles of today came out of that early 1960s mindset. And so today, what passes as conservative was considered extremely liberal, using, again, the vernacular of the day, back, you know, earlier in my life. And people, we've been this boiling frog for so long. I mean, the water's not just warming up, it's boiling. I think the frog is cooked, pretty much.
There's a lot of truth to your point. I don't think it's critical to say it's beyond fraying around the edges. But the reason that I say that it's fraying around the edges, Dr. Bradley, is because those who claim that we're that far down the road of communism and socialism, and that, hey, fiat currencies always fail, and, hey, this is going to be no exception, it's going to fail. The second they start to put that kind of a, I don't know what you want to call it, but a doomsday scenario on it, then they start to talk about timing. And over and over and over, my whole literal political career, 30 years long, has been everybody's telling me the next election, by golly, we won't even make it through the next election. This is the last honest or last realistic election we're going to ever have. And where they say, oh, my gosh, by this date, the economy is going to melt down and fail. It can't possibly last much longer. And every time people make those kind of claims, they always get snookered and they manage to prop up the system. As fraudulent and as fiat as it is, they managed to defy the logic. And so we need to be very careful of how, you know, where we say we are in this process. We'll talk about that coming up with Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds on your radio.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So I'm saying that it's fraying around the edges only because that's what most Americans see. Yeah, they know there's trouble when it comes to the pump. This has just been kind of a recent reality check. But you know what? Americans have been fleeced via the hidden tax of inflation ever since 1913. The fleece has gotten much, much worse since the early 70s when they jettisoned the gold standard completely, but they tied it to the oil standard. Or the oil dollar, whatever you want to call it, petrodollars, etc. They tied it to the world so the fake prosperity could expand worldwide is what's really happened. And now they've got everybody hooked on the dollar and people want to jettison the dollar, internationally speaking, but it's going to take some time to do so. So this currency continues to pretend that it's a legitimate currency, even though it's as fiat as all get out. The problem is when you say, hey, we're cooked, You know what? The frog is boiled and we're done. The fat lady's already sung, whatever you want to say. People just laugh at you because, hey, tomorrow you can still get a paycheck. Tomorrow you can still make your house payment. Tomorrow you could still, get food on your table. And so it's very difficult to teach people about this because the second you point the reality too critical, then it's very difficult because, hey, that's not what they're seeing today. Yeah, their bank account might have a little less money in it. Yeah, things might be a little more expensive. But you know what, Scott, I can still go on vacation. Or you know what, I can still pay my bills. And so, you know what, it's bad for the other guy. Right now, Joe Biden's debating a recession. The Republicans are saying we're in a recession. The economic experts who look at factors say, hey, we've already tripped the wire that puts us into a standard definition of a recession. But if you're Joe, all you got to do is say, look, you're wrong. There's plenty of jobs. We need to change the definition of a recession because we're not in one. And now the debate's on who's right. There's no election fraud. There's no recession. There's none of the things that you think there is. It's just not true. And now you're left with a fake news debate of who's telling the truth and who's not. And the liars seem to have the order of the day with them right now. So anyway, I agree with you, Scott, that it's way worse, Dr. Bradley. It's way worse than we're being told. For example, they say that inflation is about 9%. Well, we know from experts that it's well over double that. It's over 18%. It's disaster. But yet they can continue this false prosperity and people can still have bread and circus. It's hard for me to say that, you know what, it's upon us yet. So the timing, I don't know. The severity, the reality, the picture you paint, all true. But how do we ferret people through this thing in a way that helps them understand the truth, but yet not get snookered and mocked? And how do we deal with this in a meaningful way? And what do we do about it, even if it is happening? You know what? What can Sam Bushman, one guy, do much about this, right? Dr. Bradley.
Well, on a national level, obviously, Sam needs to do his best, and I know you are, to awaken people to a sense of their awful situation. Because the more Americans that come to understand what's at risk and what the trajectory always leads to, it always leads to it. And in fact, we all through history, there has never been a time when paper money, fiat money, we've talked about fiat for a while, that's money declared by government, this hereby, by declaration of the king, whatever, is acceptable as money. It's fake. Unbacked paper money is what it really boils down to. And the American founding fathers understood it clearly. And they debated it. The 1787 convention, they talked about issuing fiat money, this paper money, unbacked paper money. And it was stated in the debates during the convention on August 16th, 1787. Go back and look at Madison's journal. That if this were allowed, it would be as alarming as the mark of the beast in Revelation. And the entire debate of that was that the entire proposed Constitution would be a failure if the power to print money was allowed. And the convention voted in favor of preventing the issue of unbacked paper money. This stuff was on the table when the Constitution was being debated. George Washington said, experience has demonstrated the impracticality long to maintain a paper credit with funds for its redemption. The long depreciation of our currency was in the main necessary effect of the want of those funds. People don't really realize the American fact. I could give you dozens of quotations. I know the time it usually speeds by beyond the opportunity to do so. But the fact of the matter is the American founding fathers understood clearly, and the only funding available, well, that was constitutional, is precious metals. And we could discuss why that is the effect. Now, you ask, well, what can I do? I think that we as individuals need to recognize that investing in paper ultimately and finally has always, always, always collapsed. John Maynard Keynes, known as kind of the father of Fabian socialism, well, not the father of Fabian socialism, but at least the Keynesian economy the United States is running right now, believed in this fiat money, and he thought that it ought to be used, injected constantly into our economy as a means to show that it's prosperous and so on and so forth. But he also was educated, I guess I should say. He wasn't wise, but educated enough to know that it created inflation, But he said that most, not one in a million, would recognize the robbery that inflation is of their real asset, the money that's in their hand. And we've talked before on your program about the rule of 72, which you can apply it towards investment based on interest rates, or you can apply it on inflation. And you divide the rule, the number 72, by the inflation rate, which you just spoke of as 18%, and say that's how long it'll take, 4 years, until half the value that's currently in your bank account will have reached half its purchasing power of what it is today. So if you saved up $1 million and you're probably a multimillionaire.
Now, I don't know if this is, you know.
I'm poking fun at you. Okay, so here's the deal. If, in fact, we saved up $1 million to retire on, it'll be worth $500,000 in 4 years. Our interest rates on our national debt will take more of the revenue stream that comes in every year, because we have to pay back those guys that created the money in our private banking system. It's a death spiral. And so I guess what I'm saying is that individuals can be wise enough to put their assets in a kind of a solid, tangible kind of thing that has intrinsic value, and it will hold its value longer. But even those things ultimately will collapse if the collapse goes hard enough. Okay, for some reason we've lost Sam for a minute or two, but don't get me started. okay, so it's a really interesting thing. Here's what Thomas Jefferson said. One of the great advantages of specie, that's an intrinsic value money system, as a medium, that's an exchange medium, is that being of universal value will keep itself at a general level, and then he quotes Adam Smith, that the commerce and industry of a country cannot be so secure when suspended on Daedalian wings of paper money as when on solid ground of gold and silver. Specie, that's intrinsic value, you know, precious metals, is the perfect medium because it will preserve its own level, because having intrinsic and universal value, it can never die in our hands. And it is the surest resource of alliance in time of war. The trifling economy of paper as a cheaper medium, or its convenience for transmission, weighs nothing in opposition to the advantages of precious metal. Paper money is liable to be abused, it has been, and forever will be abused in every country in which it is permitted. Now, he used a term in that statement about Daedalian wings of the way, if you have paper money. Daedalian refers back to that term when Daedalus, he was a mythical ancient Athenian who supposedly invented wings, and his son Icarius experienced disaster when he tried to soar to great heights in flight and melted his wings, and he crashed into the sea, the Icarian Sea, by the way. At any rate, that seems to be where we are, where people cannot seem to understand that as they give their confidence to something that has never succeeded over time. It has always failed. And if you look back at what happened in Weimar Germany, Sam made a comment about how, oh man, I know Sam is playing up an angle here, and I don't want to overhang my market too much, but you look back at Weimar Germany and what happened when they started their printing presses. Yeah, they were still getting a paycheck. They paid them twice a day. They paid them at noon, and they paid them as they got off work. And the reason they did that was because the inflationary forces that had been caused by the printing presses had gotten so heated that they actually had to get the money out to the hands of the people twice a day so it could be spent instantly on whatever asset they could buy. Bread, for example.
Dr. Bradley's spot on correct, ladies and gentlemen. I am playing devil's advocate a little bit. When we come back, I'll do a little more of it, and I'll tell you why. Dr. Bradley's absolutely right on the facts, but how do we balance this in our own minds in a meaningful way, and how do we prepare? That's the real question, huh? Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
House lawmakers are preparing to return to Congress and spend more the week of August 8th. They will vote on the Senate's $740 billion climate agenda and self-proclaimed deficit reduction package. As many Americans have a justifiable concern about the recession facing us, President Biden, reading from a cue card, says we're not in a recession.
Both Chairman Powell and many of the significant banking personnel and economists say we're not in a recession.
This has declining GDP for 2022 so far, inflation at 9.1%, and 3 months of declining consumer confidence. We'll have the American people deciding if this is a recession. July 2022 Consumer Price Index data is scheduled to be released on August 10th. USA Radio News.
Camp Lejeune Justice is responsible for the content of this ad. Attention Marines, personnel of any branch of the armed forces, and their families stationed at Camp Lejeune, and contractors who worked at Camp Lejeune. Were you present at Camp Lejeune for 30 days or longer between August 1953 and December of 1987? For 34 years, those on Camp Lejeune were exposed to contaminated drinking water, resulting in devastating injuries, including several forms of cancer, adverse birth outcomes, Parkinson's disease, and more. Until now, the laws have prevented victims from getting justice, but passage of the Camp Lejeune Justice Act of 2022 would allow victims to seek compensation for illnesses and injuries linked to the toxic water. If you or a loved one got sick after exposure to contaminated drinking water at Camp Lejeune, you need the right legal team that has the experience, support staff, and resources to seek the maximum compensation for your injuries. Call now for a free consultation and case review.
Call 800-832-9166. That's 800-832-9166. Again, that's 800-832-9166.
The White House reported President Biden spoke with Chinese President Xi Jinping Thursday morning. The two spoke for about 2 hours and 20 minutes. Ian Chong from the National University of Singapore on Germany's public broadcast service.
On the Xi side, it's not that he's going for election. I think it's pretty clear he has his third term. It's about him being able to push his agenda through, being able to put his key allies into important positions.
Illegal immigrant Harrison Fuentes, accused of raping a 10-year-old girl from Ohio, is being held without bond. On Thursday, prosecutors said the girl confirmed her attacker, and DNA testing proved law enforcement has their guy. Franklin County Judge Julie Lynch at the bond hearing Thursday.
This man lived in the home with this child. To allow him to return to that home, the traumatic and psychological impact would be undeserving to an alleged victim.
USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bradley is spot on when it comes to the founding father-esque reality of this. He's spot on when it comes to the fact that, hey, you know what? None of these fiat currencies have ever lasted. It always results in dismal, absolute failure. Usually it ends up in slavery for the people or some kind of a tyranny. He's absolutely spot on right on that. But I want to play devil's advocate a little bit for a minute, because responding to this is really the trouble. You know, you and I say, hey, you know what? The sky's going to fall. This isn't going to last. And others say, you know what? We've lasted for a couple of hundred years. I don't see anything changing, Sam. And to make the point more poignant, here's an interesting headline. Biden's dollar plan, deeply troubling, Fox News, Breitbart, and others say. Then they say March 9th, 2022, Biden quietly signed Executive Order 14,067. And buried in this order is a unique provision that sets the stage for government monitoring of all your bank accounts and government literal control over your bank account and your spending. Legal government surveillance of your bank and then control of your spending. But yet, you know what? This happened March 9th. It's already been 4 or 5 months. And hey, hasn't impacted me at all yet, Dr. Bradley. And that's the problem that we're facing is that, you know what? If we say timing, if we say that this isn't lasting or this and that, all they do is look at us and go, what are you talking about? People have been saying that since World War II, man. And you know what? It's fine. You know what? We've got probably the most prosperous generation we've ever had, they'll say. Biden literally just lies to the people. Hey, there's no recession going on. Dr. Bradley, there's a strong job market. It's, you know, in fact, all businesses need more employees. You know, you want a job, you can get probably six of them. It kind of a thing. The battle's on for the hearts and minds of the people, and most folks aren't really awake to this. It's very hard to awaken them in a meaningful way without saying the sky is falling, without making it too dramatic, but yet pointing out the obvious. It's obvious to those of us who study history, study real versus fiat money, but it may not be obvious to the average Joe, and they're having a hard time seeing what we're saying. Dr. Bradley?
Well, that's why programs such as this one and my book, I do have a chapter on economics and money and freedom in my book to preserve the nation. But you point out an executive order. First of all, there is nothing whatsoever constitutional about what Joe Biden did with that order in March. There is zero authority.
We've got over 14,000 of them on the books, right?
That's correct. And I would assume that there are a handful of them that are constitutional. But any time an executive creates a law that is enforced as though it were law, as though it had passed through the legislature, as though it had gone through the constitutional responsibility of going through the House and the Senate and being signed by the president without having gone through that, it is a lie. It's illegal, null and void. But here's the deal. The noose has been put around our neck a long time ago. And you can go back to Bretton Woods in 1944 if you want. I mean, this post-World War II stuff, the idea of the, closing the gold window by Nixon, the idea of the petrodollar, all of the nonsense that has gone on has just been completely tamping down the concrete on us, and this latest one is an addition to what the USA Patriot Act, so called. Again, they stay up nights trying to pick something that sounds patriotic, but is really tyranny in its origins. Patriot Act destroyed not only the Fourth Amendment, unequivocal. The Fourth Amendment does not exist in America anymore in practice. But one thing that they did do was that they require the bankers to be the snitch, the cop, whatever you want to call them, on any kind of exchange. That's been around since 2001. And now here we are 21 plus years later, and so he's kind of tightening the noose a little bit more with this opportunity to say, oh, yes, we're going to observe every single thing. You know what? If you have money in their system, you're going to be observed. There's a greater effort to do that constantly with these so-called cryptocurrencies if they're making effort to track it. Now, with precious metals, it's much less likely to happen because it's something you hold. You put it in your pocket. You walk out the door. They don't know you got it in your pocket unless you go through a metal detector. But the fact of the matter is that tyrants for all ages, a little over 100 years ago, a guy by the name of Pancho Villa, a communist in Mexico, closed down all production of precious metals. He blew the mine shut because he knew that if you had independent wealth, you could control your own economy. You could control. You could go kind of under the covers, if you will, and do your transactions. He couldn't have full control of society, so he destroyed the precious metals mines that were so prolific in their production of metals in northern Mexico back in 1916 time frame. And that's exactly what they're trying to do now. They're controlling, manipulating anything that might give you some independence on your ability to run your own economy. So, yes, what I recommend to people is hold on to something tangible. And if it's... if it's liquid, meaning you can expend it pretty easily, I think there's greater value than something that you may own 10,000 acres in Montana, but try selling it when there's no money. I just give you an example. When my wife and I first got married, we lived next door to an old guy he had bought the home he was in 1929. He paid $4,000 for it. You might say, oh, really? I could maybe afford one today. But he said, he told me, no, he says, there was no money. He says, I nearly lost the home. I don't remember what he told me he's paying for it, something like $40 a month or something like that. I don't remember the number. But it was well under $100. He says, no, I nearly lost the home because there was no money. The economy had shut down. And that's where we're going, people, if we don't get wise and stop this foolish love affair with government handouts and largesse and unconstitutional expenditures. The free bogus money that comes out, it ultimately destroys the economy because you got more money chasing the same amount of goods and services, and so prices go up, a la gasoline, a la housing, a la steak. Anything that we're looking at buying right now has gone up in price. And so, you know, Joe Biden may say, well, the economy's great. You can go out and get any job, any 16 jobs, whatever you want. But your money won't buy anything, people. It's because the money is being destroyed from the core. And there
well,
may
and
be... all,
I remember this as well. My father, back in the day in California, bought a nice, beautiful lot in a place called The Estates, a very, you know, fancy, nice place. At the time, kind of out in the country, when he bought this lot for $11,000. And he built a home on it. Now the lots in that area go for well over $1 million.
Well, here's the deal.
Point. And so...
Think about this for a minute. Some of your listeners may go back to, you know, Jimmy Carter's era. Jimmy Carter, inflation went similar to what it is here. I mean, I bought a home during the Jimmy Carter era. My company transferred me. I had to buy a home. Would never have done it, but I paid 15% interest on the home. Holy cow. When they transferred me next time, I thought I cut a fat hog when I got 12% interest. Because of the relative difference on it. But the things that are going on right now at the highest levels of government, I just can't see them being able to continue to weave the web that keeps everybody completely in the dark. People are saying, I can't afford whatever. It takes not just two incomes now in a home, it might take four. So husband and wife both work and maybe they have children that are kicking in, or maybe the husband and wife both have two jobs. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that's where we are. The money is not buying it. You can get jobs if you're willing, but you can't buy anything with them. I mean, I'm overstating that a little bit. But your ability to buy anything with it is greatly diminished.
Yeah, the point, it used to be that people had victory gardens. It used to be that you didn't need money for a lot of things. You could live without. Nowadays, though, hey, you can't live without things, really, very easily. An example is the internet. You know, how do you live without the internet these days? Almost everything you do is on the internet. You got to have a good internet connection, or you're simply left behind in the digital divide. Same thing with cars. On one hand, you know what? You used to be able to get away with no car, maybe one car. Now you've got to have at least two cars. And if they're not good cars, you got to have more to try to keep one of them running. And so more and more and more do things cost money. And I don't know that in our modern day society you can live without having money for those things. It's a very difficult situation that we face, and it's going to get worse. When we come back, we'll wrap this up real quick, though, this reality check, and then we'll jump into the Hunter Biden scenario. I want to get Dr. Scott Bradley's take on that because that's a critical thing. Will he go to prison? We'll keep an eye on the fall. Time will tell. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Yeah. You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So Dr. Scott Bradley, Sam Bushman, talk about this reality check. Joe Biden literally signed this executive order 14,067, which says government gets to literally surveil all your banking and literally control your bank account and control your spending. It's disaster on steroids. But you know what? It was signed back in March, and we haven't really seen any negative repercussions thus far. See, and all the things that they do seem to have no, you know, no lasting effects or negative effects for you and I. It's only later that you can see it. Take the inflation of right this very second. Most folks that are involved in bread circus can't really see it. Yeah, gas prices are a little bit more, but and it really sucks, just so you know. But hey, it's not that bad. I can at least still buy gas, and et cetera. You can't really tell until you look back and compare to your parents' prosperity. And then you start to really see the reality check that I'm talking about. As I mentioned to you that, you know what, in 1970, my dad bought a lot for $11,000. Now those same lots are selling for well over $1 million. To make the point, you know, I had a friend that bought a home for about $17,000 in 1970. Now that home is worth $500,000. And so you see these changes. You see that it used to take one person to make a living, but yet they didn't have all the expenses that we have today. Now it takes two people to make a living, and we're struggling at that, right? And folks can't buy a home where I live. I bought a home for $150,000 20 years ago. Now it's worth $500,000. The problem is, it sounds great for me because, hey, I got, you know, a home worth a lot of money. I'm so rich, I'm poor, right? House rich, is that what they call it? Reality poor, or house poor is the term.
You know, Sam, I hear what you're saying, and I guess I'll go back to what I was talking about, intrinsic value. But beyond that, I think that the idea that you can become more self-sufficient needs to be considered by a lot of people. A lot of people have never, ever done anything but live from hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck. And you mentioned about the victory gardens that they had during World War II. I think back about, let's just take my mom's family, for example. Back during the Depression, they had 10 acres. They grew a truck garden. They had chickens. They had pigs. They had a cow. And my mom told me that they never, ever seemed to lack for it. She didn't know they were poor. I think one time in February, they had $50. It was $50 to get through the rest of the year. But it was not a problem. It was not a problem because they had plenty to eat. Every Sunday morning, Grandma went down to the fruit cellar and got out all of the canned, you know, peaches or apples that she was going to make dessert with, and the potatoes and the beans and everything. Grandpa went out and killed a couple of chickens in the chicken coop. They had a fine Sunday dinner, and they had self-sufficiency. And my mom told me that they never felt like she wasn't poor in their mind. They had everything they needed, a house and food and clothing. And so Americans today have long since left that self-sufficiency mentality. I think we're going to have to regain some of it. I think it would be wise to regain some of it now instead of being forced into it. We're being led like a lamb to a slaughter with this economy that we've got now. And I'm pretty confident that as the animals go into the slaughterhouse, they're not going, hey, wait a minute. No, we're going to the slaughterhouse. We got no, they get up close until they smell the blood, and then it's too late. And it sounds maybe a little bit crude, but I wonder how late it'll be before we start to wake up and before we start being wise in the way we run our own personal economies. So I don't know, Sam. It's just a jabbering of a guy that's been through a few more generations than some that might be listening.
Well, and the whole point of all this, ladies and gentlemen, is to understand, look, we're not telling you the sky is falling and it's going to melt down today. We don't know the timing of this. We do know history repeats itself. And we do know that every fiat currency in the history of the world has eventually had a comeuppance, has failed. And so, you know what? We don't know the timing. We're not pretending we do. We're not financial experts. But we understand real money versus fake money. And what we understand is provident living, preparedness, doing what you can to be as self-sufficient as possible. And we're telling you that it's time to work on that. You don't have to panic. You don't have to go in debt to get a gazillion years of food storage. You can start slowly. You can just, when you go to the store, buy a few extra things. When you learn, you know, to grow a garden, learn to put away some of that food. Learn to dry meat. Learn to dry some fruit and different things. And learn to work at it just a little bit at a time. And pretty soon, over the next couple of years, you'll have more knowledge than you think you will. A little bit of time into something over a long period of time pays off. A little bit of effort seems like not much, but the person that plays piano 5 minutes a day, if they're steady and consistent and it's every day, every day, every day, pretty soon they can play pretty good. It's the same thing with this. We just want people to work on it. We just want people to make a difference, and we just want to encourage you. We don't want you to leave discouraged. We don't want you to leave feeling like, hey, the end of the world's happening. God's overall. Make no mistake about that. But what can you do, excuse me, what can you do to protect your family? What can you do to have a little bit of self-sufficiency? What can you do when the tough times come to improve your standard of living, your stability, and most importantly, how can you have peace in your soul? Answer, turn to Christ. Answer, turn to family. Answer, turn to country. And answer, do all that you can to prepare. One little bit at a time. All right, I want to finish up on this Hunter Biden story. So now the experts are all saying, Breitbart reporting, Fox News reporting, everybody else reporting, Hunter Biden failed to file as a foreign agent. And as a result of that, and a result of a bunch of his current and past business partners literally met with Joe Biden in the White House when Joe was vice president. So the lie that there was no tie to Joe has been blown up. The lie that he didn't really have anything that mattered in terms of relations with foreign businesses, et cetera, that narrative has been blown out of the water as well. And now experts are saying there's a great chance that Hunter Biden may go to prison. Dereliction of duty, failure to file a foreign agent status in some of these countries, and now that his dad's literally tied to his business partners, the whole narrative that they've covered up from before the election, I consider that election fraud, by the way, to now has been blown out of the water. The question is, will something happen, or will it just be business as usual, Dr. Bradley?
And I'm going to ask a rhetorical question, Sam, so you don't need to go into a big dissertation about who Monica Lewinsky was, because I know you remember Monica Lewinsky.
Of course.
But I'll ask your listeners rhetorically also, do you remember Monica Lewinsky? You remember the big star investigation that was going on this Bill Clinton impeachment process? They had him dead to rights on so many big, important, earth-shaking issues.
I did.
The point of the matter, I guess Bill just walked in the studio, right? Anyway, the fact is that Ken Starr blew it. I think it was on purpose, by the way, and that's another discussion we can have at another time. But what he did is he focused on something that the people he felt could understand. I think it was more than that, but they could understand the tawdry affair that Bill Clinton was having with this intern, Monica Lewinsky. And so he put all his eggs in one basket, so to speak, on this whole thing about her intimacy with him and how he lied about it. And everybody said, the heck you say? This is, it's, what the? And I think that's kind of where this is. I'm sorry. I mean, as big as this issue really is, it really is a big issue that this Hunter Biden thing is happening. His old man is dirty and completely criminal in the activities that have been going on. I think there's going to be ample evidence that could be brought forth. We're talking impeachment evidence that would stand up tons more strength than what happened in the Watergate program back in 1974. But here's the deal. The people, I don't think, really are, it's not going to resonate with the people. Huh? Didn't register as a foreign agent. What do you mean? He's a spy? Are you kidding me? This guy's a spy too? Whoa, he does everything. I mean, come on. I don't think that the people in America are going to pick up on this and start carrying the banner, you know, let's take, you know, take out our pitchforks and cudgels and everything like that and storm the castle. I don't think it's going to happen. And I think that, again, there's tons of other stuff that could be brought forth. The abuse of office, the bribery things, the payouts that have happened. And it's been paid out oftentimes with U.S. taxpayer dollars to get things to happen. All of this stuff is impeachable stuff, but I don't think it's going to resonate with most Americans. And so I think, sadly, it'll probably go by the wayside, and Joe Biden will be long gone before Hunter overdoses someday in a back alley hotel room with a hooker. I mean, it's just amazing how this guy has lived a life of debauchery, and it seems to be facilitated by his own dad, who's the president of the United States and was formerly the vice president and gave access to criminals that were currently propping up in Ukraine. Holy cow. The drum beat towards war is been out there for months now, and we're covering up stuff that's happened in Ukraine, and the Bidens have been neck deep in it. They've been neck deep with China. And now, what the heck's a foreign agent? You know, so I don't know. That's just a perspective that I offer, and I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but I just don't see the American public storming the castle over this one.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to storm the castle over Hillary Clinton and her fake server, or her server that was designed to make sure that we didn't see her email correspondence, etc., right on through to the Hunter Biden scandal, to the Joe Biden scandal, who literally saw a lot of these quote partners of Hunter in the White House. They had access to the White House, but none of us can have access to the White House. Bill Clinton's scandals, none of these things. You've got two classes of people in America, folks. Us, who are being plagued with inflation to the point where it's hard to live, and the elites, which is the Joe, the Hillary, the Bill, the Hunter, and so on. And we've allowed these secret combinations to get above us. And that's really the takeaway from today's program, folks. All these other things, money, whatever, it's all downstream from these secret combinations that we've allowed to get above the people. We better wise up to it and stop it, because what's next? What will we allow to go on our watch next? And I think the immorality of the people is the cause. And I think the solution is very simple. Turn to God and repent. Turn to family. Turn to country. Demand accountability. Demand transparency. Get involved. We the people have an obligation. The founder said we have a republic if we can keep it. And the prayer is we can keep it. And we're going to work our guts out to make sure that happens to the best of our ability. Sorry for all the connectivity issues, ladies and gentlemen. I'm on the road. It'll get better soon as I get back into my studio here. Thanks for your patience along the way. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, we declare we the people, along with the rest of the Almighty, we can and indeed will restore our grand old republic. But you got to get involved, make it a great day, and you got to choose the right, will you? God save the Republic of the United States of America.